929-299-1269.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system. There are two other parties in this conference.
From the depths of Lake Michigan, remote viewing from Chicago's northwest side, this is Vintage Cop with Jazz Maz. Exclusively on Anon Radio. Now, here's Jazz.
Well, hello, this is Jazz Maz speaking, and although it claims this is Vintage Cop, I guess it is not. Perhaps one day it will return. But this is SDF Open VOIP on anonradio.net. Can be heard every night from 0200 to 0300 hours UTC. Anyone can call. Anyone can start a conversation. Number to call with your regular telephone service is 929-299-1269. Or you can just simply dial extension 1088 from your SDF voiceover IP account. More information can be found at sdf.org in the tutorials section. Time for some coffee. Trying to think if there's anything interesting going on. I have some Vintage Computer Festival Midwest information, but it's not for regular disclosure yet, so you'll just have to wait. Although I do believe I saw a private message from JWH stating that he was not going to be able to attend this year's Vintage Computer Festival Midwest. It's too bad, but I kind of figure as things start to open up, everything's going to kind of get crammed into, any event that can happen this year is going to probably get crammed in to between like August and November. I've already seen a couple events that I was looking at information on, not necessarily classic computer events that were scheduled for, I think, July, that have now rescheduled for next year. I guess that was the hazard that, if you chose a date that was too early, you might be postponing yet again. Otherwise, I'd be interested to know if there's any other people from the SDF community or non-radio listening community that are planning on attending Vintage Computer Festival Midwest, or even perhaps some of the other Vintage
Open
Computer
VoIP
Festivals.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Most of them are currently scheduled to happen this year, later in the year. I think you can visit vcfed.org for more information about those shows. And then, of course, here in Chicago, we've got a couple of other shows on the list. The Midwest Gaming Classic and the Cocoa Fest, unfortunately, both end up on the same weekend, which I think is the first weekend in November. It sounds like somebody needs to have their tires rebalanced, or inflated properly, one of the two, I guess. Yeah, and I guess the other thing that would be of interest to know is if the community is interested in having a SDF table exhibit again this year. I know when we did it in 2018, I get my dates all crossed now. That was a special event I think the year following SDF's 32nd anniversary and the Unix 50th anniversary that SDF was sponsoring the AT&T 605 traveling Unix terminal to go to a number of shows. I believe it was at Vintage Computer Festival West. It was at Midwest. I assume he probably had it set up for Pacific Northwest. Was at the trying to remember the organization, the club, the New York City, is it NetBSD specifically or just NYCBSD club, their Christmas party. And then I think everything went to hell at that point. Or at least started to. And then I guess just a reminder, currently on the Anon Radio program schedule, we have the Vintage Show and Tell video conference and live streaming, live video streaming as well as audio on Anon Radio. Event. So we're always looking for people to participate in that. Currently, it's been mostly me just setting up stuff, you know, classic computer-wise.
There are three other parties in this conference.
Hello, other party.
Hi, Jazzmaz. This is Guofu.
Hey, Guofu. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm thinking of any news. Lots of rain here.
We haven't quite gotten the rain that they were advertising, but they kind of said this the yesterday and today it was going to be chance of showers with increasing risk of thunderstorms as we go further on into the week.
Gotcha. Yeah. There was quite heavy rain over the past couple days and increasing humidity.
Yeah, we've got the humidity, but heat and humidity you've got, not so much rain, though.
Do you have cicadas, tons of cicadas?
I don't hear any in the city or any near me, but I suspect that they will be coming out soon, but they're more likely to be seen and heard further out on the western suburbs is usually where I see them.
That's interesting. There's a ton of them here. Here right now, and I think in the end of May or towards the end of May they started coming out, but now they're very, very active and pretty loud and flying around from tree to tree and stuff. And my cat saw one and heard its rasping, loud rasping and striking, and was pretty creeped out and jumped away from it. What kind of alien creature is this?
Yeah, well, I remember, one time when we had, the particular cicada population boom. I was at a BBS picnic at somebody's house, and the one woman's younger daughter liked to just pick them up and carry them over and hand them to her. She's like, don't do that. It's, creeped her out.
To her mom.
To her mom.
When they last came out, the last time I saw them in 2004, there were tons that came down the chimney, which was pretty weird and entertaining. And then I remember there's tons of them in our pear. There were tons of them then in our pear tree in the backyard, and recording that on VHS. It was that long ago. On one of those big VHS camcorders.
Yeah.
And of course now I have a YouTube video of them recorded on a cell phone, and that was not a thing. It was kind of a thing in, I guess, 2005, but much more of one now.
Yeah, we haven't had a cicada population boom here yet in this part of the East City. I'm not sure if we will or not. We've lost a lot of trees over the last decade or so.
Okay, gotcha. Where there's a high density of trees, like when I was going to deposit a check, I passed by this shopping center with some trees by the street, and you could see them flying between the trees and just kind of haze or cloud, cicada cloud.
Yep.
So I've had good luck with this PBX trunk to Google Voice. Rotary phones now are dialing.
Nice.
Externally, I might have to, I don't know, do you use CNET, CStarNet, C*NET, and NPSTN? I'm thinking of setting up a peer-to-peer connection to those.
Mm-hmm. I've only used the CNET, CStarNet, or however you want to classify it, by way of SDF's connection to them by way of an extension on the voice over IP system. Well, I think I have called one of the public DIDs as well to see if that worked, because I think there was some issue about SDF originally had a block of numbers, and somewhere along the line,
open
it got, you know, deallocated and reallocated somewhere else. But it's still possible to dial out to it.
Oh, it is. Okay, I think I tried 1929 and then some of the numbers. Maybe I chose bad numbers or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that stuff changes, you know, based on the interest of the hobbyist or enthusiast, whether or not they still have their equipment running.
Yeah.
Because I think that if you dial that extension, I think it brings, you know, cross-connects you to CNET node somewhere, and then from there you're basically in the CNET network. I don't think you're renegotiating, you know, the SIP endpoints at that point. I think you're just doing everything in band. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'll have to try it and see if there's some active number or something.
Right, and some of the extensions on the list, I'm sure, and things listed on SDF's list are no longer, and not everything is still active. It changes.
I'm sure people turn off their APAs. And set things up.
Right, or they change things around, or they decide they're, you know, only weirdos ring their stuff, or they or weirdos and use it in the way they don't want it to be used, and they get upset.
Spam, you know, CNET weirdo spam. It reminds me of the Catch-22 line where there's the military telephone system, some part of the book that references the military telephone system, and some commander asks on the phone, name, who's a poet who makes money? And then another person responds, and I guess all the lines are connected together, so one person responds, T.S. Eliot, and hangs up, and then everyone else connected to the system can hear it, and somebody else says, T.S. Eliot, and hangs up, and then it keeps going down the line. But I guess that was supposed to be satirizing the whole, you know, command structure and shut up and do what you're told kind of thing. Let's see. Yeah, so I guess there's weirdos who call too often or try.
Right, or ring it at some they discover it, it's a new thing, and they ring it at some inconvenient time. Although a lot of this stuff, they can just turn off the ringer. And if it's just an automated call system, it's like, who the hell cares?
Anyway, so I guess a couple other things here are the pocket chip is proving to be pretty nice. For one thing, you know, getting through a captive portal is actually possible, which is not. It doesn't seem to be true of older tech than that. And as far as internet radio, I found a NCURSIS version of VLC that's actually pretty nice. NVLC, which just when you install it in Debian or Ubuntu, you can use. The colors are sort of weird. I mean, there's like this blue on black, which gets a little hard to read. But you can turn off color and then have white on black or amber on black in my case. So that's pretty good. And then I don't know if I told you, a friend of mine in another Cincinnati suburb had two thin clients, X64 thin clients, and a laptop that he got rid of. And I put MX Linux on the laptop. It's a Toshiba satellite with a 64-bit Pentium 2-core. Pretty decent speed, and it now has...
Still pretty usable.
Oh, yeah, really usable. And MX takes up 512 meg in 64-bit with XFCE. With Fluxbox, I think it's like 400 meg or something. So that's pretty decent. Nice keyboard and screen and stuff. So that was an excellent, junk laptop that he got rid of for
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
HP T510 with 4 gig of RAM and 16 gig SSD, and I think a dual core 64-bit. It's like AMD TX 150 or something like that. And then the other one is a Wise Dell thin client with a quad core 64-bit processor, and you know that I guess they can just think of as a big souped-up Raspberry Pi that needs a laptop power adapter. But anyway, so those are some pretty nice free finds. You know, he tells me about all these people who get rid of stuff that new, and definitely there's uses for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe for I'm wondering for you, do you come across a lot of recycled too soon computers that you can distribute tasks amongst computers in the apartment?
Well, sometimes I do stuff like that. I mean, I take in out of service equipment all the time and either recycle it, or if I think I can still get some use life out of it, I'll use it. Like that's the case with the the unibodied iMac. You know, it's only a dual core, but you know, it will do most day to day tasks, no problem. And it has a nice convenient all in one form factor. It's got a webcam built into it, so that's been my video conferencing computer during the pandemic, essentially.
And so that was being people got rid of that because
It was in service at a colleague's customer's office, and they upgraded all their all that generation of Macs. And he's like, "Here, have one." I'm like, "Okay, cool."
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it looks like I bet with these thin clients, there's businesses that, or libraries that go through those things.
Well, I mean, I have a mutual customer that was using them up until very recently. Those are Wise MX, what is it? I forget what CXO model I think it is. Which is, basically a 32-bit VIA embedded computer, x86. And they were using those for a couple of their employees for quite a while, and they had a stack of them still. And for them, I mean, those would be ideal machines if they were still relatively supported for, like, their warehouse, because they don't need to be cooled. They don't have any active cooling components. I think they even have a PCMCIA slot on those, so you could actually get a wireless card and jam it into it. Essentially, it would be ideal for that, except, of course, two things. One, they can't run, can't run the mailing and shipping software directly on them, which is somewhat problematic because, of course, the endpoint has to control the barcode scanner and label printer. The label printer is probably not that big of a deal. The barcode scanner is, though.
Oh, yeah. And wait, mailing and shipping software for...
For, like, UPS and USPS and FedEx.
Oh, so these are used in businesses for that.
They have a warehouse. They ship product, and essentially they run, the shipping company's software on it for handling label printing and, basically issuing the required postage, essentially franking the packaging.
Okay, gotcha. For labeling packaging shipped out from the warehouse.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
All right, and the idea is that it's all integrated, that, you know, essentially the shipping software is tied to an account, so when they ship something out, they've got a postal scale. That's the other thing, too, right? They've got a postal scale. Basically input all the packaging information and weight. You know, all of that stuff is recorded, and then it basically puts it, you know, sends in a request for the shipper to, you know, basically stop by and pick up the package at some point before the end of the day, depending upon which shipping method it is and, you know, what shipping rate it's being sent as.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned that these could have a Wi-Fi card. I found in this box of freebies a half-height PCI.
I think they're smaller form factor cards, now that you mention it.
Smaller than PCI. Yeah, it's...
Right, they're basically the same sizes, but I think they're not as long.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, this one was, I guess, standard height as far as the circuit board, but the bracket is half as opposed to full height, which is what you see.
Oh, you mean like, you're talking like type 1, type 2 cards and things like that?
Oh, PTMCIA.
Yeah,
not PCI. Yeah, I think this card was for one of the small form factor Optiflexes.
Yeah.
Add Wi-Fi to it. Well, I could grab it in a second and then take a look.
Yeah, I'm just about ready to do the same thing here. Like, the box is right here, so I think this is the one. No, that's the it's the other one, but I think that one's more likely to have a full-sized PCMCIA card slot on it because it's pretty chunky. No, it does not. And the other thing that was kind of interesting is at the customer site that still had some of those running, they had a couple of variants that had smart card readers built into the front of them as well. It's like, I've never seen them with the smart card reader option.
Yeah, I guess for YubiKeys or people logging into a remote system.
Right, the idea is just give them a key that just hangs on their ID card or something like that on their lanyard, and they can just log in with that rather than have to deal with passwords.
Yeah, exactly. And then you stick it in, and then you're logged into whatever VPN or server or.
I remember what the deal is on these. There is a Wi-Fi option. You can get a Wi-Fi module for them, and there's a little plug knockout in the back to bring out a wire antenna.
Clip.
Which one is the one that had the PCMCIA? I think that's the really old one that I have. It has the...
Yeah, I would guess that. It's interesting looking at this PCI card because the Wi-Fi adapter is embedded inside the PCI card, and there's some clips for it and then wires to certain spots on the main board, but another...
Here it is. That one's got a little snap, little plastic cover over where the antenna module for the PCMCI card would protrude out the back of it. Yeah, I mean, it's too bad thin client technology didn't really catch on. I think we'd have much less of a headache today if we'd gone down that road. Well, I mean, it's not as if it doesn't exist. It just didn't gain the popularity that it should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, outside libraries, I haven't seen them all that often.
Yeah. Yeah, I was more likely to see them in, like, warehouse environments, like a auto parts store or something like that, where they just needed something to...
Open VoIP 929-299.
You know, access the inventory database and do all that sort of product management. So they could pick orders, order new more inventory, print an invoice.
Yeah, exactly. See.
Some of them might actually run the cash drawers. If you happen to have a good software package for that sort of thing, you know, run the credit card reader and the cash drawer.
Let's see. So I heard more news on the Colonial Pipeline that it was OpenVPN or something. Not OpenVPN, but an OpenVPN.
Yes.
But the trick. So I guess hopefully everyone...
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of that going on where people have gotten in. You know, like the SolarWinds hack was sort of like that they got into some of the VPN software providers and replaced client software with compromised client software, and it's like, oops.
I think
they even had some compromised appliance firmware out there as too.
Yes, Anna was mentioning that a a Wi-Fi coffee maker.
Yeah, that's what everyone needs. So you thinking about doing any sort of presentation for the Vintage Show and Tell? Sunday?
I'm thinking this coming Sunday probably could work. I'm thinking I could show the, palms. I wonder how I can, maybe I could show do some demo in palms. I've already set those up for Bluetooth dial-up networking and SSH on a palm. Well, okay, maybe not. SSH as long as, I move my camera in a way to not security compromise myself. And then what other stuff? This Motorola ES400 could be something. Those are small but a lot more powerful than I think most people appreciate. There's, a good deal of programming that can be done on board and emulation and internet radio.
Sure.
And art and stuff. And they have spectacular battery lives. So probably that. And I'm thinking, so it's, what is it, 10 a.m. for you and then 11 a.m. for me. And it can be half an hour or an hour.
Yeah, well, I know the block is 2 hours, but, whatever you want to fill is fine.
Yeah, I'll see depending on,
And I'll have something on backup ready to go.
Okay.
I had started, I've been basically just screwed around with just setting stuff up and yammering about it as I do so. So I left the C128 system I set up, the Commodore 128 system I set up last weekend on the workbench. I could spare the workspace for a week, and I'm thinking I might do some stupid CPM tricks on it, since that's a mode people don't usually see, and then maybe some things that are 128/80 column mode specific stuff. It's another thing that the software list is sort of limited. Oh, did we lose our connection? Did I lose my connection?
Oh, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Oh, I just got quiet for a second, and I'm like...
Oh, he's talking.
Am I talking to myself at that point?
Yeah, if it clicked off. Nice. So, okay. So you have some CPM on the Commodore.
Open VoIP
929-299-1269. No, it's actually the Commodore 128 actually has a Z80A processor in it.
Okay, I thought it had.
So it does, in fact. Although it does do some weird things, so it's really a hybrid system because it can actually software switch between the Z80 processor and the 6502 variant. And it actually does do that for some of the I/O operations, that basically when it calls to, you know, read or write a sector in certain modes, it will literally halt the basically cue the 6502 variant or 6510 variant up for operation and transfer control, and it will do the I/O operation, you know, write the sector, read the sector, and then, you know, return back to the Z80 state with the appropriate data in the right place.
Okay, so the Z80 can call this, so it has both processors embedded. Wasn't there a DEC Rainbow or something that had an 8088 and a Z80 or something? I forget which.
Yeah. Well, I think I forget what the Rainbow had in it. But yeah, it was not uncommon to have, after a certain point, it was not uncommon to have Z80 crammed in it into a machine. Into, you know, basically a later 16-bit machine for backwards software compatibility.
Yeah, exactly. Since I know, I think the 8088 has 8080 compatibility mode, and then you can run CPM through there, but one I remember was...
And then there were a lot of home computers that had, you know, Z80 add-on cartridges to be able to run software as well. Like, even the C64 has a really terrible Z80 cartridge for it. I have one in my collection. I should probably show that off
at
some point.
Retro,
but that's sort of painful to use.
Oh, on the C64.
Well, it's, you know, 40 column, and, you know, basically on a 1541, which means you have no disk compatibility with anything else. So it makes it difficult to get software onto and off of, you know, software onto and data off of. And it doesn't work all that. The actual CPU cartridge doesn't work all that reliably. It will eventually lock up and die at some point.
That's not good.
Well, because it's a ripoff of a Z80 cartridge for an Apple II, which I guess didn't work all that great. And it, you know, of course, with C64 VIC-2 video display timing, almost guaranteed to not work at all.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awful, frankly.
Yeah, you've got a device that basically does cycle steal operations all the time from the main memory bus, you know, halts the CPU and accesses memory.
Yuck.
Well, I mean, it does its job well, plus or minus a couple bad scan lines. That you're not going to really notice on a broadcast television set. You know, on a consumer TV, you're not going to really notice it too much. And, you know, it was a way of that they managed to build it down to a price that people could afford. So, you know, for better or worse. But, yeah, that was sort of the headache. Part of the headache for, like, the slow disk I/O, too, that it's like, It's like the disk drive solution for fast serial that they had didn't work. Oh, it sounds like I've got a call. I have to take this. I'll be back in a moment.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Hello.
Okay, so the Rainbow did have C-Log, C-80 and Intel 80, 88.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Okay, I am back.
All right. I checked in the deck. Rainbow does have a Z80 and an 8088, as I thought I remembered.
Yeah, there were a couple of machines like that, that they were sort of bridge products. But it's IBM PCs are the wave of the future, but, you know, the business machines, the business machines that were in use before that were, you know, CPM-based machines running Z80s and 8080s.
Epson 820, or Xerox 820, and so on. Yeah, funny bit about the COVID vaccine and 5G is this joke I made up that, you know, we're all part of the microvax. You know, DEC came out of grave and created the microvax. Mainframe that's mesh networked 5G chips programmed into all of us to say how great Bill Gates is. I think it was at the Vax.
The new Vax architecture, right? We've all gotten an upgrade.
BMS, yep. BMS is the solution to COVID.
Vax VMS as Bill Gates would have imagined it. Or Stalin.
Is it, speaking of vaccinations, is it 60% of adults are vaccinated now or something?
I think it's like 50 or 60 have had at least one shot. In the U.S., please stand by, because there was also some news, you know, a few weeks back that there were groups of people that were getting the first vaccine, the first dose, and not following through with the second. So we'll see how things go.
It's been fun seeing in Costco people with their masks off because they're vaccinated.
It's like, I'm vaccinated. I go, well, I don't know that, so please keep them on. It's like, I had that problem the other day. I went to the corner store to get some odds and ends, and it's like, I'm in there getting my stuff, and then, you know, two guys walk up without masks on, and they're all hanging, you know, they're basically buddies with the guy behind the register, and they're all hanging out at the counter. It's like, okay, everything goes back on the shelf, and I go out the door. So I have no idea what these loons are doing, and I don't need any products from the corner store that badly.
Yes, there's a couple customers, you said, in the corner store without masks.
Yeah, it's a little different if it's in a larger store. It kind of sucks when it's a corner convenience store. It's like,
oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, very.
Yeah, it's like they're like hovering between the door and the counter. They're at the counter between the counter and the door, and they're without masks. And it's like,
open void. 929-1269.
It's like they probably haven't been vaccinated. It's like, I have. I'm probably not that big of a risk, but it's like I don't want to reinforce that behavior. I'm like, they should be wearing a mask until, we have a much higher percentage of people fully vaccinated.
Do you remember at some point in the very beginning of, February 2020 March or something, there was an NBA player who, a waiter tested positive after he did this, but in a press conference was making fun of it and started coughing on all the on the mic and all the equipment and
great
stuff.
And I know, there's always one like that
for that, and then later he tested positive and,
it's like, guess what, you may have infected many other people in that incident on camera in front of everybody, congratulations.
In another instance in South Korea, they traced a cluster in Busan, I think, of 8,000 cases to this one woman who went to church maskless and went to a buffet and got her food and stood in line in the buffet and was coughing probably on the food. And even though apparently she was feeling sick at the time, she still had the wisdom to do all of that.
Yeah. I mean, you hear stories like that all the time. It's like a friend of mine, he was saying his son was still working at in a fast food service in the drive-thru, and this woman, the story was this woman pulls up and she's like, so you know, I have COVID, but, I'm like, then why are you here? It's like, thanks, but why are you even here? I mean, if you've actually tested positive, you should be at home for the next 2 weeks, regardless.
Yeah, not quite feel so good. I guess. I was looking at the statistics about the new cases and deaths, and it, right after. After the new administration went ahead and started ramping up vaccinations, eventually down. And I know multiple workplaces now have opened up again.
All sorts of stuff is opening up again. I'm not sure if I'm thrilled with that, but, we'll see.
I
think for the most part we're okay, but you never know.
Yeah, but I think even once stuff if the vaccines is effective, or is, 90-95% effective and everybody's vaccinated, I still think people are going to do partial remote, partial commute to work job now, except for food service and medicine and deliveries and stuff like that.
JWH has chimed in. Illinois enters phase 5, i.e. post-pandemic, this Friday. Yeah, I don't know if I would classify that as being post-pandemic, but because, I mean, we still have infection on the rise in other places in the world. I guess it's not a pandemic in the sense that it is, infection rates are not increasing exponentially everywhere in the world.
India's worrisome, and it's very federalized, from what I understand, the Indian system, so it's hard to tell what's going on in all places, as opposed to being, having smaller countries where you can throw a rock across it, like their towns, you can throw a rock across it. Have an idea where all the cases are and do contact tracing. As opposed to every jurisdiction wants to do stuff its own way. Other stuff besides that. Thinking for when Linux things or computer things. yeah, today I was thinking about, I was trying to solve some problem in RStudio, you know, where I have two columns, one that's a bunch of factors, like, you know, it could be different kinds of fruit, and you have an apple with the three
open
times,
VoIP 929-299-1269.
0, 2, 3, 0, and 4 or something. Anyway, I was thinking how you could go through that, you know, that list with two columns, and then go through for all the each individual factor, do an OR function on all the numbers in the second column for each of the factors. So all the apple numbers, and turn that into a 1 if any of those is more than 0. And it turns out, you know, you can get a list of the factors for one column, you know, the unique string values that are present in there,
mm-hmm.
and then also any function does a OR on a list. I'm pretty sure, yeah, it would be an OR operator.
Mm-hmm.
If either one or the other is 1, set is 1, otherwise 0. And then, I guess, extend that logic to a list.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you I was trying to convert a list of pairs into a presence-absence matrix, and I thought of a way to go through individually and look for pairs and then set 1 or 0 in the presence-absence matrix, and the time frame for that was on our cluster was something like a month or two, and then I thought, well, you could also make a vector of all ones for, you know, a particular element on the left side of the list, and I did that solution at 20 minutes because the data structure was better suited for the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Champagne Urbana, let's see, JWH Stern. I feel pretty good about Champaign, Urbana, but Chicago or the Alabama-like downstate areas, you know, Pennsylvania.
yeah, I mean, that would be my concern, too, that either the high concentration population areas or the places that have been relatively isolated throughout the entire process that we might see, you know, clusters of breakout.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, there's a Kate McKinnon clip or some skit where she, I guess she's the protagonist in it, and it's called Dirter Burner, and it's about Philadelphia and solving, you know, murder in
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia. And of course, all the words have a delightful Philadelphia pronunciation, just, you know, using consonants wherever possible, and you know, whom and wooder and so on, and then, well, anyway, there's some Pennsylvania stereotypes leading into that, but it was pretty funny. Yeah, I'm thinking in Ohio there's the was it, there's some states having a lottery or something for
Yeah. It's like, get your shot and get entered into a lottery. Like, okay. Yeah, I got to bribe people. And then, of course, people that did the right thing don't get anything. Oh, they get to survive. But I guess that's a win. But
looks like we have 2 minutes left.
Yeah. Shall I or shall you?
Okay, for everyone listening on Anon Radio, this has been SDF Open Voice over IP, held from 0200 hours to 0300 hours UTC. You can call in at 929-299-1269, 206-299-2120, extension 1088, or extension 1088 on the SDF SIP system. The topic is whatever you'd like to discuss, and it's immediately followed by open mic where you are the DJ. Okay. Okay, I think around in about a minute I'll wrap up, but yeah, I'll let you know, maybe send something to the mailing list with what after that.
And that reminds me, I have to reply to
Thank you for listening to Open VoIP. Now you can be the DJ with SDF Open Mic. Get on the mic. Get on the mic. Yo, check it. Get on that mic. You are the DJ.
What's that?